Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey, y'all, I'm Mallory, and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating two multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. So I have had three guests at the most on the Living Fully podcast, and today's a special day because for the first time ever in 100 episodes, I have four people on the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I've been on the podcast before.
You have.
One time. My name is Jade. I am Mallory's younger sister, and go ahead.
My name is Luke. This is my first podcast, so let me work through some of the kinks here. I am Mallory's third sibling.
Yeah, uh-huh. Third.
Fellow middle child.
My name is Gabriel Irvin. I am the youngest sibling. Mm-hmm. Hello.
And I'm really excited to do a sibling podcast. We've never done one of these before. Everybody really loved the family podcast that I did with my mom and dad. Everyone except for my mom. She did not enjoy the experience fully. But I think my siblings are pretty laid back and are going to like this. So we've just crushed about 17 bags of True Food. And we've got 9 really wild kids running around upstairs. So if it gets a little chaotic here, just excuse us. But I'm really happy to have you guys today.
Well, thank you for having us.
No, it's going to be nice, Jade. Thanks for your formality. off air, Gabe and Luke were saying to thank you to all of their sponsors of their life, but none of them are appropriate to say on the podcast, so we don't have any sponsors today. So let's roll right into the podcast. So first I'll start by saying how we fall in order. So I'm the oldest. Jade is 22 months younger than me. Mm-hmm. How far apart are you and Luke? 3.5 years?
About 4.
3.5? No. Is it 4? So I was a senior when Luke was a freshman. I used to drive him to school every day.
Oh, how was that?
It was fun. We hit a deer one time, got in an accident.
We ran away from the car.
I said, Luke, get out, run.
Why did we just run?
I don't know. I thought it was going to explode. Oh. I mean, we barely nicked the deer. It was not a big deal, but you know, we're a little dramatic in our family.
Were you listening too loud to punk music?
Probably. Yeah. I was probably listening to, Dashboard Confessional. Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, so about 3.5 years.
And then Gabe, you guys. And 4 years.
Mm-hmm. 4 years.
Really? How does that work out? So Gabe and I are
Gabe was
9 years apart. No, he was not an accident.
What? He was. Mom said he wasn't planned.
Remember on The Amazing Race when Dad said on camera, like, to millions of people, like, when he was like, well, when I had my first child, I wanted a boy. Then when I had the second, I liked having a girl so much that I had a girl. Then when I had my third child, I really wanted a girl, and I got Luke.
He also said on public TV, he goes, it was Amazing Grace. He's like, yeah, Mallory's like the son I never had. You know,
me and Luke are watching that with Dad just like,
what? We have two sons. I didn't mean it that way. It's like, well, that's how the whole nation perceived it.
Well, that's what you said.
Oh, my gosh. That is funny. I forgot about that. This son I never had. And they're sitting there by their dad being like, oh.
What?
Yeah.
You have two of them.
Dad?
Oh, my gosh. That is rich.
I don't remember that line.
Coal miner?
And a farmer.
He just made up stuff. Mm-hmm.
No, it was just he went really far back, like to his teens, to describe some of his professions. Well, it's kind of hard to describe what he does now, I think. So he, went back to basics.
Didn't he say he had like a fake country accent too?
He talked a little more country in certain situations. I feel like I do that too. Well, based on, who you're around, I feel like certain things come out.
A lot of people do that.
So, okay, let's talk about a little bit about family dynamics. So Jade and Gabe and I all live in Nashville. Luke lives back in Kentucky, which is 2 hours and 15 minutes away. And you guys kind of know a little bit about our upbringing. We grew up on a farm with all of our cousins. I was the oldest. And then there's 23 of us, like, spread out. So we obviously grew up together because we're siblings, but we had a really wide net of cousins, and it was really awesome the way that we grew up. And I feel like we all kind of like mourn that a little bit and think like, how do we do that in our lives mm-hmm. now? And like, are we ruining everything by not doing that? But
we're trying
to
create it.
We're trying to create it now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody always asks like, are you close to your siblings? Anytime that like you'd say that you have siblings, and I feel like we are really close. I feel like the age distance in Gabe and I, like I was in high school and I can remember you singing Sorry Miss Jackson, like when you were six to like all my friends on the banister in your underwear. So like he was like a kid when I was in high school. And so I had a whole different upbringing with Gabe because he was like so young and funny and crazy. And then now it's like really great to know like Gabe as an adult, but I feel like I knew you guys. You guys are like a little closer to my age. As adults or kids, you know, grown kids. But I do feel like we're close. Don't you guys feel like we're close?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you made up this question,
close.
Jade. So well. You answer it first.
I feel like it's been easy. What? Don't say that part. I feel like it's been easy for us to be close our whole lives just because we were always taught like family is sacred, and I feel like it's like so ingrained in us, you know. Mm-hmm. Just to be like close with family, and it's just like such a part of the foundation.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I would also agree. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jade says, I called her yesterday. I was like, so do you know what the question was? She's like, yeah, but it's better to freestyle. And then we get here and she's like, oh, by the way, I hate going in freestyling. I rehearse these very well.
No, so. I did not rehearse.
Jade knows the questions because Jade produces the podcast and she thinks of the questions for everyone. So,
what was the question?
So, how
have we stayed close?
How have we stayed close?
I feel like it like has been easy to stay close.
Well, I'll say this: when you're raised on a compound in Boxville, Kentucky, in a 2 mile square radius, you don't really have much options or choice. Yeah, but you know, you talk about what grandpa said and our uncles and everyone always talks about, you know, as long as you have your family, you can take on the world. I don't know the exact quote verbatim, but I heard
he was always like, if you stick together, nobody can beat you.
Mm-hmm. The papa mm-hmm. said that. Yeah.
And I think we live that.
I agree. I do get really caught up in the gosh, like, because we grew up in such a like, it's crazy the way we grew up, honestly. Like, I don't know hardly anyone in my whole life that I've ever met that grew up like us. All very secluded in a rural area and all on the same farm, like, as close as we were. And I just think that that's such a rarity. And we have such a high standard of, like, family. It's like, you got to see your family every day to be close. But you really don't.
You don't. Yeah, because look at, I mean, Luke, we don't see every day. They live 2.5 hours away. But I feel like I'm still close to Luke mm-hmm. and Kaylee and little Clark.
We make lots of trips to Nashville.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Show up.
They're coming back
everything.
Next weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple more serious questions before you guys start roasting. Before we start the roast segment of the podcast. So speaking of like staying close and family first, what do you feel are our other family values? Because I do feel like we are from a family that is very intentional about talking about like, what are the things that matter here? And I think like as young kids, we were just kind of like, I mean, what in the world? You know, talking about legacy and all this stuff. Like you got a bunch of 6-year-olds sitting on hay bales being like, what? What? My mom told me to draw this train.
What? Draw this train.
I mean, they were like, I think Paxton's was a train or something that he drew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do feel like of our values, I feel like family is at mm-hmm. the very top. I would also say faith is really high up there. And I would say wrestling is pretty high up there.
Definitely. Not our stuff, just the wrestling.
I mean, there were 19 boys and 4 girls in our family. And, like, all of the boys wrestled, and it was just this really intense thing. It was just our family sport. But hard work, work ethic, stuff like that, I feel like is the value that boils down. Would you guys agree about those being our family values?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because when I was thinking about these questions, faith, like literally what you just said, that was my answer. Like faith and family are number one.
Yeah.
both of them. You know, mm-hmm. they're tied.
Faith, I think family, family first. Hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, generosity. I think generosity is a big one, yeah. You know?
Kindness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Like the senior citizens dinner we used to do.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah.
I know. I wish we still did that.
I know. We need to bring that to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the generosity piece is good. And the kindness piece is good. Mom said on their podcast, she said that people always say that about her kids. She's always like, everybody always says your kids are all so kind. And she kept being like, take that part out. It sounds like I'm bragging. And I was like, we should probably add humility to the yeah. list here, because you can say one nice thing about us on a podcast. We didn't even say that about ourselves. Yeah. Like, other people said it about us. But, you know, I feel like that is the reason that we are like we are today. And, you know, live intentionally and always worry about, like, are we raising our kids right and doing it right? Because I feel like they did it right.
For sure.
Yeah. <all
right>. Don't rock in my throat.
For sure.
You cannot sit by her in a funeral or in a serious speech or like anything, because she gets the giggles.
I do.
Yes. You remember there was one time that we went to a car dealership to buy mom a new car.
Mom started that.
They were laughing at something, and I literally at 15 years old or 14 had to negotiate the entire car deal because they could not get it together. How do you plan to pass down a family first mentality to your children? I think that making an effort to be a part of any family gathering mm-hmm. that you can, and I know you have to split it obviously with your spouses, like gatherings and stuff too, because their families are also important. But I think that shows that is an example of being family first. I think that, you know, constantly like talking to kids about their uncles. Obviously, I don't have to talk or bring that up much because Ford and Shepherd are extremely obsessed with Gabe and Luke, and they're 80% good role models, 20% bad.
Yeah. Church out. We're working on that. That's generous.
They just really love Uncle Luke and Uncle Gabe. And then Clark, Luke's little girl, has taken a major liking to Kyle recently. And so
all the kids love Kyle.
I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
She's obsessed.
She's always like, Kyle, hi, yeah.
Kyle.
Like stroking his beard. He loves it too. He like mm-hmm. eats it up.
And Sunday loves Geff.
But I think, yes, Sunday really loves Geff. Mm-hmm. But I just think that making it a point to, you know, attend what you can attend, to FaceTime and talk and like get together as much as you can, you know, going to church together and stuff like that helps like when you can. But yeah, that's how I feel like I plan to pass down family first mentality. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other plans?
Yeah. I think we're going to also have to start being intentional about like passing down the family stories now mm-hmm. that we're a generation removed. You know, Papa's gone. So we're going to have to, you know, when they get a little bit older, be a little better about, you know, telling the stories about, you know, when he was younger and some of the tragedy he endured and,
yeah.
you know, just mm-hmm. passing down those, the legacy of family. Yeah.
I think we do a good job of,
yeah.
we do fun things together and we yes. do activities together. You think of all the trips, all the things we've done, and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could name a laundry list of, you know, me and Gabe scuba diving, we went mm-hmm. to Bulgaria, we went, you know, just all these wide array of crazy things, and as long as we continue to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quality time, really. Mm-hmm. Just being together.
What was the question again?
How do you end of it?
Yeah, y'all get suck up all the good answers by the time it gets to me.
How do you plan to pass down a family first mentality to your
gotcha.
Child, Big Lou?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd say just like by live it, you know, like
yeah.
lead by example, and you know, if they see, you know, kind of like us, it's like, you know, I don't know that. It was really told, I guess it was, but, like, you know, family was important. Family mm-hmm. was first, mm-hmm. you know, it's the most important thing, whatever. But, you know, we saw how our dads and moms and uncles and everybody made, and grandpa and everybody made such a point. And
yeah.
they were all best friends with mm-hmm. all their family. And, you know, they just, it just like, they lived it. So I think
right,
that's
yeah.
what we do is just, you know, just live it and let yep. them see it. And mm-hmm. I'd say, like, with all values, you know, that's the way that they'll learn the best is just by trying to live it. And then they, you know,
yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't say we're like super formal about it either. We weren't ever like we didn't eat dinner as a family every night.
I know we are not a formal family.
Share the pit and the peak of the day, like the Kardashians, but, you know, just time, just hanging out together all the time.
Yeah. Are you tired of waking up feeling sore and stiff in the morning? Or maybe the words bone on bone are all too familiar to you? If you're middle-aged, chances are it has to do with the fact that your body is not making as much of one specific type of protein as it used to. Dr. Chad Walding, a renowned doctor of physical therapy, says the overwhelming conversation he has with patients struggling with bone and joint issues has to do with this specific protein deficiency. The good news? Simply adding it back into your diet is scientifically backed to support bone density, soothe joint discomfort, and boost mobility. Plus, it's the most abundant protein in the body. So not only does it reinvigorate the body with denser bone health, but studies have shown dramatic improvements in hair, skin, nails, and digestion. Get the full story free of charge by visiting getnativepath.com/livingfully. That website again is getnativepath.com/livingfully. That's getnativepath.com/livingfully. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and the that's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe for original, handmade, and absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know the exact perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their site. I recently bought the Grand Harvest Basket for when I cut flowers in my garden. It's so cute and unique. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone, from your book lovers to your diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not just the same old selections that you could find just anywhere. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/livingfully. That's uncommongoods.com/livingfully for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
I don't know what made me think of this, but leading by example, Grandma and Grandpa made every single one of us dance.
Oh,
how every single one of us had to dance. If you did not dance,
I've never thought about
it. It was a problem.
Yeah. So now everyone dances and participates.
Yeah.
At the parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point
too. That's an important thing.
And
because you don't realize like what they're doing when they pull, like when they're, you know, like Kyle didn't like to dance when we first started dating. I was like, hey, I'm just going to let you know, like, this ain't going to go over well in my family. So, like, let me teach you some steps. And he's like, no, I don't want to. And I was like, okay, well, let's just go to function and see how that works out for you. And it's like, grandma's, like, pulling him out onto the dance floor. And you can't say no to, like, someone's grandma.
Really?
I can remember being a kid, like, hating it because I was so shy. And Papa would make me get up and dance, like, when I was, like, 9 years old. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah,
definitely.
I learned to love it. But, but I think fun is
fun.
A value.
Fun is a value. We have always had a lot of fun. And, you know, we've lived a lot of life together, just, like, in the everyday. We have a lot of fun. With the holidays, we have fun. Even, like, they all work together still. With Irvin Cable, like, you guys still, I feel like, are having fun, even though you're doing, like, really serious work. Like,
yeah, I would agree with that. Ironically enough, that was one of the last things, the last day Pop-Off, I saw him in person was, and you were there when he said it, he was just like, no matter what, just keep it fun, like, make it fun.
Did he?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he said that.
Uh-huh. Not he to gave take a dark turn on me.
He gave a lot of good, like, random bits of wisdom that I've never heard him say in the last year. I remember when we were at the Legacy Weekend last September, which ironically, it's like we were just dancing with him like last September, you know? And he was dancing with me. He kept being like, somebody's got to step up. And I was just like, oh, no, don't say that. No. Like, you know, he knew that it was coming. And I feel like he was intentional about the things that he said there at the end. You know, he was so inspiring to me in the last conversation that he had with me. I will, like, never forget it. And I just try to live like him in, like, little ways every day. I can never be like him. Like, there is, it's
no
just
one
like,
ever will be.
No one ever will be. And, like, it's okay. You just adopt some of the things that he was into your life. And I agree with you. Fun is a family value.
Sure.
For us. Everybody's so dang serious about family things. And they get really stressed out about family dynamics and, like, people that don't get along and people that beef and people that disagree on politics. And I'm just like, you just, like, try and rise above all that and, like, just shake it off a little bit.
Life's too short.
Just have a little bit of fun together. I mean, just do a dance. Don't talk about politics.
It's weird to think, too, like, you know, when you see families who are, like, oh, I don't talk to my brother. Like, I don't, you know, me and my sister aren't close. It's like, I try to think, like, what would I have to do to get, like, to where, point. Like, Luke or one of y'all, like, would not
yeah.
talk to me?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you'd have to do something pretty significant. I yeah. feel like we'd probably...
Like a really severe crime that yeah. you would be, like, imprisoned yeah. for. But, like, even then, I would have to, like, you know, weigh it out. Like, you know, yeah. there, I would still probably forgive you. Uh-huh. But we just, that's the way that we've always lived, and we choose that. And, like, you know, as cousins and stuff, we would beef all the time and, like, fight and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but everybody just comes back around.
Fist fight.
Best friends. That's a good yeah. point, though, Gabe, that you brought up. Like, I don't even know what I would have to do to make you guys cut me out of your life. It's, I think people are so easy to cut each other out. And, you know, it's like, where's the repair? Do we all just care about ourselves, like, more than our family? I just feel like everybody's given a family. That is like a God-given gift, and like you're just throwing it out if you just let little differences or like a rift come in yeah. between. So, funny stories. Oh, Lord. You guys have heard me allude to this several times, and if you listen to my parents' podcast, we grew up very, very wild country kids. I shared this on Mom and Dad's podcast, but you know that Dr. White used to say, or the doc,
funny.
The doctor in our hometown, who we really like and we're close to, he used to tell people, he'd be like, don't let your kids go over there. They're going to get hurt really bad. And their kids won't get hurt, but yours will.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent
sound advice.
They didn't have the practice we did. Like,
no.
We knew how to get ourselves out of a tough situation.
Yes, we did.
And we knew how to drive, you know, the Rangers and the four-wheelers. Uh-huh. But, yeah, other kids didn't.
We also were unattended yeah. a lot. It's really funny because now you can't, like, unattend your kids. But we were...
Lot.
Really, I'd say 95% of the time unattended.
Yeah. It's wild.
Mom's not gonna like that.
She knows it.
She's gonna ask.
And it was like swimming in lakes and like riding,
yeah, motorcycles,
vehicles,
no helmets,
and doing whatever.
Running jet skis into each other.
I would not let Lewis grow up like I did. I don't think as
well. It's a
wild.
It's amazing that none of us got truly hurt.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
Gabe,
a cousin
did,
on fire.
We suffered a couple of close calls.
close calls for sure.
I never had any close calls, but.
But it's ironic that you are the most, I would say, helicopter parent of everyone, because you, Gabe, were definitely the wildest of us four, for sure. And like very much like danger things, not like bad, like he was a bad kid, but he was like very. Did extreme death-defying things on the daily. Just
well,
that's, you lived on the edge.
I think just like too, growing up in Union County, it's like there's, you know, is Union County's the best place to grow up in my mm-hmm. opinion, but you just have to make your own fun, right? Like, you didn't go to the movies, you didn't go to arcades or whatever, like whatever kids in the, growing mm-hmm. up now do in the city. Like mm-hmm. you just had to make your own fun. It was, you know, rope swings and paintball guns and bottle rockets and, you know, whatever.
Real guns
yeah.
and spray paint cans and lighters.
Yeah, lighters.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
I'll stop
to get
there.
Creative. But, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, for the girls, like, Mallory would make costumes for me and Thea and her, and somehow mine were never finished, so my entire backside would be showing. She would have a beautiful gown, and we would create, like, music videos, Britney Spears videos mm-hmm. and stuff outside, and that's the kind of stuff we did growing up.
Yeah.
It was mm-hmm. fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Ours wasn't as death-defying. I was pretty...
No.
I did some dangerous things. Max and I did, definitely. We were the first generation of danger. But, yeah, I agree. You have to make your own fun. Okay, so that funny story that we told in my parents' podcast was Gabe drove a car at, like, 14 or so, 15?
Something like that, 14,
yeah.
15.
He did not have a license. Drove 15 minutes to town to get a cheeseburger. Like, he wasn't doing bad things, but he didn't have his license, drove a car. Got pulled over by the state police or one of the police officers. He's like, hey, I'm going to give you a chance. Call your dad. And he called Luke. And I'm going to let you tell that story.
Yeah. So we'll fast forward to the part where we were pulled over. And this officer, he put me, and it was one of my buddies, and he put us in the back of the cop car. I'm, for some reason, only wearing, like, shorts, like athletic shorts. No shoes, no shirt.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. I guess we were just going to be in and out at the Burger Shack. Shout out B&H. And then back. And So I don't know how old I was, but I guess I had to have been 14 or 15 because you were in college. Yeah. And so whatever, he's like, give me your dad's number. Otherwise I'm taking you to jail. And so I had one last chance, or I had a chance. I took my phone and I texted Luke. I was like, hey, you're about to get a call from a cop. Act like your dad, like play it cool. Just get him to take me home or whatever. And so, I'm in the thing. So I give him the number and he leans up, kind of steps away from the car for a second. And then, and this was like in the days I had some kind of razor phone. So I was like, yeah, 3-3-3-2-2-1-1-1, firing off the text. And, so anyways, he's like right beside the car and he's just like, we got your son here, in the back of my cop car. He's been out driving around. Is this Gary? And I hear Luke, and I knew I was screwed the second he as soon as Luke answered, I hear like just like banging music, and I'm like, oh, I am screwed. And so like, and then like he's like, Gary, like, is this Gary? And I hear Luke, he's just like, huh? What? This is the cops? And he's like, no, this is Luke. He's like, I'm Gabe's brother. What's going on? And then I'm just sitting there, just eyes front in the cop car. And he leans down and looks at me. He's like, okay. Hangs up the phone. And then of course, he's like, I'm going to give you one more chance. And then the jig was up. So I gave him dad's number, and then then he calls.
Gabe wasn't the first one or the last one of cousins and siblings that have been given my number to falsify someone else.
You should take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Did you learn from that experience, and do you know how to talk to the cop now, or did you always
I've learned from that experience, and I can't tell too much of these details, but
I was supposed to go to Monster Energy Supercross in St. Louis with all my boys that weekend, and then that got canceled. I got grounded and had to go to family weekend with Luke instead.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good story. Okay, any other funny stories? Who remembers some funny? There's really so many funny stories. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, there's a limit to which stories I feel like we can tell here.
A lot of y'all are inappropriate.
We had family amnesty hour once, and. Yeah, I'm not gonna fall for that one again.
I'll tell one about Mallory since it's her podcast, and I don't want people to get the impression that she's always just sweet and innocent. So no,
set the record straight.
Yeah. She was meaner than a striped snake.
She told our cousin Cole he was exiled from the family when he cheated at the Easter egg hunt.
I didn't do that.
Yes, you
did. I didn't rip up the picture. So he cheated in the Easter egg hunt. We were younger. He cheated in the Easter egg hunt. He hid the eggs.
He did hide the eggs.
And he hid like the $100.
He was like four.
And then he got in front of the line, and I just needed to tell him that was not a family value of ours. And then someone else, I swear I didn't rip up the picture, took a picture of him out of the picture frame and ripped up the
He said you did it.
I didn't do that.
I don't think
I wouldn't
cheap.
Disrespected property like that.
And then at the end of it, though, that's when you
so
were
she's a cutthroat businesswoman.
Yeah,
here.
No, that's what I was about to say. And then after it, you were like, Cole, you can be back in the family if you give me all the money that you got. And everybody's like, whoa, no, hold up. Like,
yeah.
Give me all the money. Oh gosh. Okay, so what's your story, Luke?
That's
gonna turn the tides.
There's a lot, actually.
Oh, I know where you're going with this, actually.
I'll just tell a simple one.
The
roughly 1999. I would have been about 6 or 7 at the time. Eight. Mm-hmm. And we had built our new home. So we moved from basically two doors down, and we built a new house. And this was in the mid-construction phase, and everything was framed up, plywood floors. And anyways, we'd go over there and we'd play. We'd walk through the house, play with, again, unsupervised, walking through a partially constructed home.
With
and
no
one
railing
day, we're all over there. I just had the biggest poop pains ever, and there was no bathroom in sight. It was a non-built house. And we were just walking through, it's like, what do we do? And Mallory's just like, just go in the house. Just do that. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, mom, dad would see that.
Go in the house.
Just go in one, like, in, just on the floor here. She's trying to get me in trouble. I knew it was a setup. She's like, no, don't do that. I'm not going to do that. Anyways, I was like, I don't have anything to wipe with. Like, I can go out in the field, but I don't have anything to wipe with. And Mal's like, just use this insulation. I'm like, no, it's itchy. And she goes, actually, Luke, it's the non-itchy kind. And for some reason, I believed her. So anyways, I go to the bathroom. I use the non-itchy insulation.
Fiberglass housing insulation.
Yeah, I was living fully of insulation with full of fiberglass elements. Anyway, so I wiped with it, and it was just terribly painful. I just started screaming and yelling, crying. I run into the lake, and they couldn't get me out of the lake. Mom and dad.
You ran into the lake? I know that part.
Yeah, I jumped in the water. I had to jump in the water to get it.
Cool off the cheeks.
Yeah, make me feel better. But anyway, so.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Mom and dad came over, and they're like, why did you do that? And I was just like, I don't know. I thought he could use it. And they were like, that has fiberglass.
Wait, I thought you just did it to be mean.
No, I think I probably did.
She did that kind of stuff on purpose so she could laugh.
She was laughing at me.
I didn't think it was going to be, like, hugely damaging to him. I just thought it would be, like,
took it a little too far that time.
Like, yeah. Making someone eat a hot pepper. Like, it's just, yeah.
Just a classic
fun.
Prank.
Classic prank.
That's see, yeah, I you weren't mean to me. Luke was mean to me, but y'all were always nice.
Yeah.
So I think that was the
yeah,
age
she had
thing.
A vendetta like, against Luke for like yeah. A good 10-year stretch.
She
I think she
called
still
him
does at times.
Beaver.
No, I do not. I don't. It's funny. I like
it took us months to get Luke to agree to the
Oh, you know, you just like you jive different with different siblings at different life phases. Yeah. I feel like too.
I was
like,
just the wrong age.
Wrong ears in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's at the wrong
look.
Place. The wrong
you like buck teeth.
Oh, sometimes you just got to be an Eminem, you know? Mm-hmm. The Eminem story where he was upset because who was I?
You were the,
I was the angel, the archangel or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're Mother Mary or whatever of the St. Anne's play.
I was actually trying to give you advice. It just came off really bad. He was crying because he had to be the Eminem, which I don't know why was there Eminem in the manger scene. Anyways, but... He was Eminem and he was crying about it. And I was like, it's okay. Some people just need to be Eminems. So any other funny stories before we go on to a serious question from Jade?
As we all know, Mallory had some dark days in our 20s, but there were some funny stories that came out of that for me. We were in Africa. We were in our tent. And Mallory would take an Ambien every night to pass out after a long day.
It was definitely not just one.
I think it was a couple. So one night she decided to come back and she took her Ambien and then she started to hallucinate or something. She went outside the tent and she was like, there's a wild hyena outside of her tent.
I think it was a lion. That
you said, was it a lion?
Yeah, and I think I thought there actually was a lion. Because the thing is with Ambien, if you go to sleep on it, you sleep through the night and it works. Like the drug is supposed to work. If you take a large amount of Ambien and you don't go to sleep, though, it's like a party drug. Yeah. And you see things.
You probably just had that dress you're wearing right now, like hanging up in the closet.
She saw something, but anyway,
I have a tiger print.
It scared me to death. And then she comes back and just passes out, and I'm a nervous wreck, looking for this lion all night.
Yeah,
I was hiding. I remember hiding in the bathroom, like scared to death.
And I was just sleeping peacefully.
I know.
Ambien is a drug I do not recommend. By the way. As a woman, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, the cravings, the ups and downs, and all the things that come with it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes, that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. This isn't only for women, though, going through big things like menopause, Women with any symptom of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes, night sweats, low mood, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Lastly, it's not just a supplement, it's a phenomenon. There's a huge rave about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today. Family time is precious, and connecting over a home-cooked meal, now that's what love is all about. But for us, finding time to plan meals, especially during the crazy months of the holidays, can feel impossible. That's where Gobble comes in. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. But leaving time and room for love that makes homemade meals so special. That means pre-cooked starches like rice and polenta, pre-simmered sauces, and pre-mixed butter and spices. Other meal kits send raw ingredients that require 40-plus minutes to prepare and cook. We had the seared chicken with old potatoes and sauteed apples the other night, and it was a crowd favorite with all my kids and Kyle. It was absolutely delicious and very easy to prepare. See what a difference Gobble will make in your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. Get $120 off four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/livingfully. That's gobble.com/livingfully today for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. Like many of us, I'm eating healthier, and that's why I love a good olive oil. And by good, I mean fresh. Olive oil packs the most flavor and the healthiest nutrients, especially when it's fresh from the farm. And that's the problem with supermarket olive oils. They're not fresh. They can sit on the shelf for so many months. They grow stale, a whole host of problems. That's why I get my olive oil direct from small, award-winning farms, thanks to a fellow named T.J. Robinson, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter. When I tasted T.J.'s Farm Fresh Oils, I fell in love with their vibrant, grassy flavor. They're incredibly delicious on salad, veggies, pasta, meat, fish, you name it. As an introduction to his Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club, TJ is willing to send you guys a full-size $39 bottle of the world's finest artisanal olive oils fresh from the new harvest for just $1 to help him cover shipping. And there's no commitment to buying anything now or ever. Get your free $39 bottle for just $1 shipping and taste the difference freshness makes. Go to getfresh348.com. That's getfresh348.com. For a free bottle and pay just $1 shipping. Getfresh348.com. Okay, so to take a turn, there are more funny stories, honestly, than we could do 45 podcasts on funny stories, but we have only a few minutes left to do a few questions. So we will take a turn from funny stories to lessons. So I think that one amazing thing about being in a family, especially if you have a family like ours, is like lessons that you learn, whether it's by example, whether it's lessons that like you just pass down and teach. And I think everybody's trying to learn lessons off of TikTok and Instagram now instead of like asking their grandparents. So I always am encouraging people to like, you know, reach into your family tree and like ask your grandparents before they aren't here anymore, or your aunts and uncles, like, what are the lessons that you guys learned in business or in family? Like, how did you raise kids so well? Like, people love answering those questions. So I'm always encouraging people to do that. But, you know, speaking of Pawpaw, we brought him up before, and he was the patriarch of our family, I feel like, and like very much central to the way that we grew up and our entire life. And I'm going to ask a question about lessons that we learned from him. Like what lesson stuck with us the most? And I think, you know, I think a lot of people look at families like ours and they say, well, I can't do that because my family's not like yours, or I can't do that because we didn't grow up like that, or my parents are terrible, or like my siblings are this or that or whatever. You know, everybody wants to count themselves out of being able to have a close-knit family that lives this way. But if you think of Pawpaw and his family, he had a really tough upbringing. And I think that he was the first generation of his family tree, and he was like the base of that. He didn't come from anything. He was dirt poor. He lost half of his family. The odds were completely stacked against him, and he created the most beautiful family that like I've ever seen. And he had it all against him. So I always encourage people to remember that, like, you can be the first generation of creating a family like this, or trying to, you know, I mean, you can't control other people, but you can certainly live in a way that draws people in, I think. And that's what he did. So that's a lesson that I learned from him, is you can be the first. You can be the first one, and you can make a huge, amazing impact on a lot of people if you do it right. So that's one of mine.
I feel like his whole life was a lesson. Honestly, it's hard to pick just one thing because everything he did was just incredible. But I think probably one for me is how he just smiled through any hard times. You know, even like
good one.
The last couple of years, you know, when he was so sick, and I'm sure it was just like hard to get through the day. You know, he couldn't breathe. He felt like he was drowning every single day of his last couple of years, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't know it. I mean, if he was ever sad or depressed about it, like I didn't see that. He always just was smiling through like the hard times. Yeah. So I guess resilience is what that is. Yeah. I don't know. Just
it's a choice to live joyfully. I think
living with joy, mm-hmm. living fully.
Yeah, yeah.
So that
sure.
was for me. That was a big thing.
Yep, that's a good one.
I'd say the concrete, you know, a simple one that sticks in my head is, you know, he's like, when you're working, always work, you know, don't stand around, don't put your hands in your pockets. And I think back when we were kids, we were working in the garden, working at the fireworks store, working at his grocery store, working in his farm, you know, with his animals, whatever it was, you had to be working. If there's nothing to do, find something to do.
Yeah.
And that was like what he always preaches, is those little bits. And then even Uncle Robert and his children had the same thing. It's like, hey, if you got a, you know, if there's a broom sitting there, pick it up and sweep. Mm-hmm. And you know, people would, and it kind of clicked for me whenever, you know, people would tell grandpa, like, hey, your grandkids, they are working mm-hmm. machines and stuff like that. But, you know, it was never aggressive or, you know, hey, you're lazy, pick it up. It's just like, hey, when you're working, just always be moving, always mm-hmm. be working, don't stop. And, you know, that kind of even flowed through the rest of the cousins.
That's a good one.
And we were just very productive. You know, we goofed off from time to time, you know, Max throw a tomato at your head or something. But, you know, it's just always working, always doing something.
Yeah.
No one, you know, really took a back seat. And then another lesson is just, this wasn't something that he necessarily preached, but it was one that I observe and I try to use in my life, is just relationships and networking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could, if you wanted to get into a hobby, grandpa may not have been the subject matter expert, but he knew somebody that was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to catch and skin turtles. This is real. he had a turtle guy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think of like, you know, our parents' business with cable construction.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to interconnect, you know, our parents and somebody that was a subject matter expert. But whatever hobby we may, you know, country music singing, mm-hmm. he always had a person that he had a good relationship with that he could leverage their expertise mm-hmm. or whatever it may have been. So just the importance of relationships and, you know, how if you take care of people and, you know, sometimes the favors return.
Yeah. Those are two really good ones. I never heard him say that about work. I saw him exemplify that, but that's a really good piece of advice.
No, that's a real thing for sure.
I think he said it to all of y'all. He let me sling mixtapes while y'all were all sweeping floors.
Yeah. Yeah. My first job was, I worked at Bud's Country Corner. And I'd work from like whenever the store opened, 5 a.m. to like noon or something. And I'd restock the cigarettes on the shelves and restock like all the candy and the food and the drinks, everything. And I was the restocker guy. And I kind of saw that same thing. Both of what you said was one mm-hmm. was like, even as a, you know, however old I was as a kid, he was always just like, hey, like if you're going to sit around twiddling thumbs, I'm going to send you home. Like, hey, like, you know, he's mm-hmm. never, ever mean about it or anything. He's just like, come on now. Like come on. He'd always say, like, come on, Jack. Like,
come
let's
on.
Go.
Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack.
What are you doing? What are you doing? There's these floors are dirty or whatever. And so, yeah, he definitely he was never like, you know, mean or malicious about it. He's just like, come on, hey, come on, come on.
And, yeah.
And then kind of same thing, like what you said too. I saw it with the, you know, I can't tell you how many times, like, and I can like still hear it and see it in my head. Like we'd be in the store, we'd be doing something and someone walks in and be like, what do you know, bud? And he'd be like, hey!
Oh, yeah.
They'd always have like some weird, like, oh, Tomcat, what you doing?
Hey, Bugs.
Oh, man.
Like, I think he just was one of those guys that just, like, was, you know, had that relationship with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he did, like, was good to people and did that, you know, to have a good relationship and get favors by any means. But no. He definitely was one of those guys that would do anything for anyone. So,
yeah.
You know, if anybody ever needed anything, they were happy to help. But
yeah, everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and he grew up in our hometown, and like he was, like I said, he came from nothing, was super poor, and like he had a kind of high-powered family, you know, a guy from a high-powered family that like befriended him, and they became like best friends, you know, the Conway mm-hmm. family and everything. And it's just like, I love hearing those stories and like how, you know, people used to say things to him and be like, what are you doing hanging out with that kid? And, you know, he just mm-hmm. like loved being around him. And I think he treated people like that whenever he had some success in his life, like the people that he hung around. It's just like, you know, it wasn't the who's who people. It was just like anybody and everybody in our hometown, in our community. And I remember like he used to always say like, you know, be careful when you're climbing up the ladder. Don't step on anybody because you might see them when you got to come back down. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, that's good advice. Yeah. And it's true because I think that we live just generally in a more selfish culture than they had back in the day. I just think that things were different in the presence of social media and stuff. There's so many good things about social media, but I do think it's made us more self-focused. What can everybody do for me? Culture. And he was just like the opposite of that. He was just a what can I do for everybody else person. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just think
like
that's
little
such a good
things
way to be.
Too. Yeah, like when he would go visit the Amish, all those little kids, they mm-hmm. would flock to his car because he would bring them candy and just hand
pass
it out to
Skittles.
All the little kids. Yeah. And they didn't yeah. get that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
just he was just so sweet.
He was
also
sweet.
Hilarious.
He was so funny.
Fun to be around.
Person.
He was mm-hmm. so funny. It's just like, how do we describe him to our kids accurately with stories? Because it's almost like you've got to meet someone like mm-hmm. him. And that's why I'm so glad that we did so many video legacy things so they could hear him laugh and see him talk. I mean, I even forgot about when we were, you know, someone on my team was putting together a video for after he had passed away and stuff. And we were looking through all those old videos and stuff. And like, he said that, I didn't even remember him saying that, but that described perfectly how he is, where he was just, I said, what makes you smile, Papa? That was like a question mm-hmm. we were asking everyone. He's like, it don't take a lot to make me smile. He's like a big fish or a big deal. He's like, it don't take a lot to make me smile. And I was like, that is so true. He was so quick to be just joy filled every day.
Yeah. And he didn't take things too seriously either.
No, he did not take things seriously at all. No. He just really laughed them off and
mm-hmm. on to the next thing.
Yeah. So, sibling identities, what do you like the most about each other? Okay, I'll start with Jade. I like Jade's resilience because I think that something that you and Papa have in common is you have experienced adversity and still choose to live very joyfully and happy and joy-filled on the other side.
Oh, well, thank you.
After losing a child and after dealing with infertility struggles and just like things, you can't tell it on your face every day. And I think that was just something simple about Papa that you couldn't tell it, you know? He chose to live in a different way and not let those things define him. And you're funny, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Luke, say something nice about Jade.
Oh, goodness. This is really hard. I agree, though. No, Jade is hilarious. I always jokingly say that Jade's my favorite because she's also the nicest.
checks
I am
out.
The nicest.
Jade is not very nice all the time.
No,
what?
Jade
is very nice.
Oh,
I thought you said I'm not nice.
No, you're very nice.
Except for right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not to guess.
Yeah.
Jade, sometimes he deserves it.
No, Jade doesn't talk bad about people. She doesn't get too worked up in, the politics of things. You know, she's happy-go-lucky, fun to be around, just real light, and I enjoy being around her.
Well,
and
thank you,
she's
Luke.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Hmm.
y'all are having to think a long time.
I keep having to go last. I keep slurping up all the good
Some
ones.
Of us didn't answer questions.
I'll let Gabe start on the next one.
Okay, yeah. So Jade, which I've told you this before, I think you're the most clever of us all. Like you're very like your zingers are very very wise.
I'm very wise.
Yeah, and I'm space it here. Line.
Dave is the funniest, actually, out of our whole family and the wittiest. And he locks up a little bit when the camera gets to rolling.
Do be locking up. But yeah, no, they took what I would have said too. The big ones are resilient and, you know, happy, positive, fun to be around, all those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Those are, and then I just, so I had nothing else. There's a lot of things to say, but I just went with the funny, mm-hmm. I guess.
Thanks.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll let you start then. You can start with Luke.
Pass. the cool thing about Luke is he very much so, like, lives by the seat of his pants, mm-hmm. and, you know, and this part might sound like an insult, but just doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks about him. You know,
nothing matters.
Most of the time, it's for the best. But
it's nice to have a wild card in the family.
Yeah,
you know?
A wild card.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know. You might call him and just be like, "Hey, I'm heading home this week, and you can be home." No, I'm going to Vegas for It's basically like an ad lib book, just like
for Ricky Name Martin story. Concert.
Yeah. No, I think that he's good about kind of like the pawpaw thing. He's one of those guys that just like kind of enjoys life, lives fully, and you know, like when people tell me, like when people find out, that kind of fully. But when people find out like that I'm Luke's brother, and they're like, "Oh, you're Luke's brother," I'm like, "Yeah," and then he's like, "Oh," they always have a story or something. Like, man, one time me and Luke, we were running around and, you know.
Yeah,
lots of stories.
Yeah, and it's always fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
A lot of the same reasons that obviously Gabe just mentioned, but Luke is so sweet and kind and just, like, hospitable to everybody. I can remember the first time I brought my mother-in-law home. We were doing, like, a triathlon or something, and I was just introducing her to the family, and of course I wanted everybody to like make a good impression because I knew I was probably going to marry Geth. And Luke just took such good care of her. I can remember him like being like, "Hey, you want to try this tomato? You like tomatoes? This is from the garden." He was like slicing it up for her, and just like
Suckers.
Little things like that. He is so sweet and kind and just takes care of people. I think he has a lot of dad in him, honestly. You can just count on him also to like always show up, you know, your kid's birthday party. You won't hear from him. He won't RSVP, but he'll be there. And just like, you know, when I was losing Blaze, like the day it was all happening, he was there within like an hour mm-hmm. or two. You know, mm-hmm. he just, when he knew that morning things weren't going well, he just dropped everything and showed up. So he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Mostly.
So I will say two things about Luke. He is a very high energy, fun uncle. And like I had the first two kids, both boys, and like Luke is just the best uncle ever. So I'm just like, the impression he's gonna have on Ford and Shepherd is gonna be major, because they just
good or bad
the direction of their life really rests on Luke's laurels. He gives his all to being an uncle. And even like whenever he had Clark, I was like, oh gosh, I guess the days are numbered here because he's gonna have his own child. But he still gives just as much effort to Ford and Shepherd, and they just adore him. Mm-hmm. They like him as much as their own dad.
Maybe more. No, just kidding. God,
Kyle's gonna love that line. And I think something else about you, and I share this too, so that's probably why I notice it in you, is you're very like all in on things. You're like all or nothing. We're actually all like that. We're very like, when he is gonna do something, whether it's a diet and workout plan, or whether it's like a job, or whether it's like dating Kaylee and pursuing marriage, like whatever it is, it's just like he's all in. He's pedal to the metal. The brakes have been cut. And like he gives it his all. And I feel like that's how he is as an uncle too. So, okay. And then Gabe. So Gabe is the funniest for sure in our family. I think that like Kyle always says, like, if there's anyone that I could be around, like, at all times that would just like make me laugh so hard. And I like think about it for 10 days later is like Gabe. It's Gabe.
Yeah.
It's just like the stories that Gabe tells, like he should have been an actor. He really missed his calling. His impressions are the best. Like the way that he just can embody a character that's like done something funny in our life and retell the story. It is just like being an entertainer is like such a gift to a family because everyone in our family is funny, but you're just like another level of funny. And he's just like, it's always a good time. Also, Gabe is definitely like you, very nice and cares about what people mm-hmm. think, which I think is actually a good quality. Like you two are people pleasers to like such an extent that like, I'm just like, they are not even thinking that. He is just as bad as you. And I think that it is an endearing quality. And it is just like, you know, really caring that like other people are happy and like feel a certain way and everything's okay over himself. And I see that a lot with Gabe. And I think that you're a great dad. The helicoptering mm-hmm. is reflective of being a good dad.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to go second because you just said everything I was going to say. So
that's about it.
But like, I mean, there's so many things. It's hard when there are so many things about a person that it's hard to narrow it down. But yeah, I mean, he's hilarious. He is so funny. And he just like makes every situation fun. You know, it's so lighthearted. So like all of his stories are just, I don't know if it's like his sound effects or like just the way he tells stories are like just so hilarious. And, I mean, yeah, he definitely did miss his calling because he could do stand up as Amy's.
Yeah, he definitely could.
Yeah, as but, you can tell, yeah. this riveting podcast.
I can remember, and not to bring it all like back. I feel like I keep bringing it back to Blaze, but like that. That was like the biggest thing that happened to me in my life in the last few years. And I can remember so vividly, like the day we lost him, we all went home to our house, to our little greenhouse. And Gabe, we were just like kind of sitting around in a circle. And I was just like feeling like, oh, I'm never going to experience joy again. Like, this is it. We're done. Mm-hmm. And I can remember laughing so hard on like that night because Gabe and Luke, both of y'all were just being so funny. And I thought to myself, like, how am I laughing on like the worst day of my life?
Yeah.
Like how, but he has that quality. And like Farrell Mason, your girl, I was listening to a podcast with her and she said, if you experience any type of joy in the midst of grief, like that's a gift from God.
Really?
And siblings, that's awesome. Like he's such a gift. Both of y'all. So. Yeah.
Great.
Well,
it's a good one.
Okay. I'll play off of the hilarious, funny, personable, you know, everyone enjoys being around him. But, you know, me and Gabe, so when I was a senior in high school, Gabe was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of close in age, but not super close in age. But, you know, the story mom always tells and that I always tell is like about how to describe Gabe's personality or, you know, what's Gabe like. And she always tells a story, you know, I'd graduated from high school. Gabe was a freshman. And, you know, he just kind of blended into my friend group because, you know, he my younger brother. But it was cool because he passed the cool check. And, you know, he was cool enough to hang out with older kids because he was really funny and witty. And
that's where it all went wrong for me.
Yeah. But I'm off to college. This is over, you know, some weekend or that weekday, and then, you know, a group of my friends from high school come walking through the door and they're like, hey, what's up, Lisa? You know, how are you? And mom's like, good, Luke's not here. And they're like, oh, we're not here to hang out with Luke, we're here to hang out with Gabe. And then this freshman in high school just comes rolling in and see, like, deuces, Lisa. You know, we're
gonna that go is so funny.
Hang out. But, you know, it, and, you know, we've been in a lot of weddings together. You know, we've been in a lot of trips and, you know, it's cool, but, you know, to have that ability to kind of mesh with a lot of different groups of people, whether it's age or, you know, different personalities. Gabe doesn't have anything limiting him. He's like a chameleon.
Limitless.
Yeah.
Some people that's call that
fake. And then another cool thing about Gabe is he's got some pretty gnarly crafts and like experiences, you know, you think about like, hey, what are my hobbies or what's something unique? You know, and Gabe's like, hey, dude, I'm like super into cactuses. Like,
which he is.
Like, you can call him up any random week and he'd just be like, dude, I just made the best poblano rare pepper sauce.
Yeah.
So good.
He is crafty.
You know, just like, just super random things. I can't think of any very, very recent ones. Give us a recent craft.
What am I into lately? Brock's got me into coin collecting.
Oh, Lordy. You're really unlucky that you didn't know me. In the end of my really intense days of taking way too much Adderall, I got super into coins.
Did you?
And shouting out the coins.
Yes. Do you remember my coin poster where I would tape all the coins in rows from all the different countries? And I would there's a coin place in Nashville that takes rare coins.
I'm tracking.
None of my coins were worth anything.
There's a secret society.
You also got into seashells. Really?
Yeah,
you had like a shell collection.
We're not talking about that right now. Okay. We're talking about coins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You really missed that. But I agree with you, Luke, about his flair for things.
Like
for
motorcycles. And random things.
So, okay. Well,
you.
I guess. Okay.
We
can
do you.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. I'll start. Mallory, she was always such a great role model for me. I mean, she set the bar really high from a very young age. She obviously had like a lot of talents and a lot of gifts. And but I can remember like in high school, you know, she was all A's, honor roll, dance team. And like, I always just wanted to be just like her. So I like followed in those footsteps, joined the dance team. I remember she like never drank alcohol in high school, and I did the same thing, which obviously we started a little later in life.
Made up for lost time.
I just always like, always like tried to be as good as she was. But nowadays, you know, we're really close, and she just takes such good care of me as like a little sister. I mean, she just does everything for me. She's so generous. She clothes me. She employs me. She just gives me free pajamas, and just she's so generous all the time.
Oh, that's
and
nice
that's one of the things I love about her. Yeah.
Thanks, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things I could say about Mallory, of course. I kind of think I'm wondering to myself, I'm like, I wonder if this is like a trap. And like, we went around and said it about all us three. She's just going to cut that.
Yeah.
Only put the ones about her.
Yeah.
Probably. It's like all the pictures where like where our eyes will be closed and we're not looking in Mallory's perfect.
And we're all like,
there were a couple Christmas cards I did do the minted work on that
there
were like that.
A lot of Christmas cards.
Remember the Christmas card and one of us had I think it was you that had a middle finger up.
I didn't know that.
I remember that.
And Mom was in the picture and she didn't know you were doing that. Like Luke, like, I don't remember how it happened. But like,
you were doing it like under your leg or something. Like trying to.
And it got like mass produced and sent out to everyone. And like we told Mom a month later and she. Free. She was like, "This out to everybody." No, but I think the coolest thing about Mal is just that I would say that she embodies the thing in Dad the most about just like really going for something, diving in, and just like rolling the dice. And like with this new or not even new, it's everything she's built around this, you know, her brand and everything she's done. It's really cool because like I remember when she first started, Luke and I were both just like. So you post pictures and you're gonna make money on the pictures you post, okay?
This was also like 12 years ago.
Yeah,
too.
This was before influencers were a thing, and like we'd be like, "Oh yeah, we totally support you," and then like I'd be calling Luke after, and be like, "Oh dude, she's screwed. Where is this going?"
Yeah.
And people would ask me about it, be like, "Ah, that's what she's doing, you know, like whatever makes you happy, I guess." But no, like, and so it was like definitely a risk, and definitely like. Dove in, you know, completely and like put all you had into it, and it was just cool. Like I'd say you've made it now.
Well, that's nice.
built this close, really cool thing that like nobody knew existed or was even possible. And I think you do that with a lot of your things, like kind of like when it's like the next thing, it's like, well, now I'm gonna do pajamas, and it's like, oh, whoa, where did that come from? And then it's just like, well, now I'm gonna do the podcast. Now I'm gonna do whatever it is. So I think you're very hungry and very, like, go get 'em, I guess,
thanks,
if you will.
Gabe.
And that's the thing I'd say I admire most about
thanks,
you.
Gabe.
Yeah, to spin off of what my other siblings have said, Mal is, so growing up, I was always Mallory's brother. And still to this day, I am known as Mallory's brother to a lot larger scale. You know, even in environments where Mallory isn't as well known, you know, let's just say, you know, in the telecom industry, you know, I'm still introduced sometimes as Mallory's brother.
Where he works in that industry.
Yeah, which you have nothing involved with. But, you know, they do know Mallory very well across a lot of different platforms. But, no, you know, anytime anything's been associated with Mallory growing up, it's always been a positive thing. It's always been a good thing. You know, like Jade said, good example from the very beginning. Can't say I always followed into positive footsteps, you know, but, you know, maybe not the straight A student, but close.
Neither was I, Luke. We tried.
But no, you know, set the bar high. And that's honestly, as she was the first of the 23 grandkids on our, you know, our dad's side of the family, you know, she set the bar high, and we all, it helped us kind of live to a higher standard. You know, don't, you know, be a bad person. Don't be a negative person. And then in retrospect, you know, till today, you know, there's a level of accountability that she holds, you know, our family to. And you talk about Papa being kind of the patriarch. Is that the right word? You know, you kind of hold a position of being a matriarch or patriarch, whatever the proper terminology is.
Matriarch.
Of our generation. So, you know, with that, you know, title comes a big responsibility, and you hold it very well.
Thank you.
That's a nice compliment.
That's a very nice compliment. Yeah. The holidays are better when you're not feeling guilty or worried about carbs. With Hero Bread, you can indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love guilt-free. Like enjoying grilled cheese with a cozy pumpkin soup, buttery Hawaiian rolls with family dinner, or French toast casserole around the holidays. We are loving Hero Bread in our house so much, and especially my kids are loving this bread too. Hero Bread has something for every bread lover, including sliced bread loaves, buns, Hawaiian rolls, and tortillas. Even limited edition 2-gram net carb croissants. You all know how much we love croissants over here. Try Hero Bread today. I know you will love this guilt-free bread as much as I do, and you can get 10% off your order at hero.co. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's LIVINGFULLY at hero.co.
Rapid fire, we're going to finish with. So we'll go around and you just answer these short questions. So, A, favorite family traditions. One of mine is like whenever we are on vacation and dad is like 4 bourbons in and starts asking very serious questions about life to everyone at the table.
Yeah.
It's a funny.
Yeah. He gets very philosophical.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 4 and 6.
but then he asks really weird ones like, what's your spirit animal?
When his face is red, that means it's on. It's like
questions are coming.
On air, like.
No. We also do it for everyone's birthday. Mm-hmm. Like when we're at a restaurant, well, whoever's birthday it was, mine was the most recent. We all go around and we all say our favorite thing about that person, and I don't know, it just like makes you feel good.
Yeah,
birthday around the horn, like kind of how we call it.
Well, mine are deer season and dove season are always fun because people come in. You know, like dove season was last week, and it really triggered. You know. Wrapping in pawpaw and family and all that stuff. And, you know, our favorite family traditions, you know, that's, you know, everyone knows the first day of dove season, you know, we're going to go to our dove spots and hunt together and participate in a weekend long festivity. Mm-hmm. And then deer season, the first weekend deer season, kind of the same thing, but you know, holidays are holidays, you know, people have blends of family, but those seasons are like our seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good one. We have like, they're like
Slavery.
Unspoken holidays.
Yeah. Fall days.
It's a good one. Fall days.
Fake holidays.
Great merch shirt for next year. Thanks, Luke.
Ooh, I just thought of another one. While you're thinking, we used to do these like vicious Easter egg hunts where they would hide like, or Papa and Grandma would hide like $10 bills, $5 bills. But then there was one that had like $100 bill in it. And that's why we would like fight over it. Because it was, somebody was about to get rich. but yeah, we would like tackle each other down the stairs to get to that $100 egg.
Okay, who's the favorite child?
Depends on the parent.
Yeah. And mom?
I
would say, I don't know, favorite boy, Gabe, favorite girl, Jade.
Yeah.
I think that agree. Both of their favorites are Gabe.
No. Dad's favorite is Yalta, is Luke and Mal for sure.
Yeah, definitely not me.
Me neither.
No, like parents just like sometimes you have more in common with a kid. Yeah. I see that like with my own kids having three, and it's like sometimes it's just like easier with certain kids, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was
You and Dad have like the business thing together.
Yeah.
Mom and I have that like.
Sorry, you guys actually work in his business, but it's me.
Yeah.
The heck?
The two sons he never had. One time when we were doing these legacy videos, they asked the question to all my aunts and uncles, like, if all your kids were hanging off the edge of a cliff by one hand, like, if you could only save one, who would you save? And, like, Aunt Vicky and, like, Mom, and like, they all answered it seriously.
Very seriously.
What did they say, Gabe?
No, I got clipped. Me and you got clipped.
Oh, we did?
Mom saved Luke and Jade?
Yeah, they saved y'all two because they said...
They said I cost the least.
Yeah, they said that I was still in school, so I had, like, the most overhead involved because, like, you know...
financial decision.
Yeah. Finished going to school.
It's, it's just business.
I think this was before you were self-sufficient. this is when there was a lot of doubt in
Miss
living
Kentucky.
Fully co. Yeah. You were living. You were Miss Kentucky
Everybody
for a
really
living.
Worried about my
and so
career.
Dad was like, "Yeah, we're just gonna we'll clip her." Jade's got a steady job.
Yeah, that is
Luke's,
funny.
Luke's in the business. Like, yeah,
that's funny. That's
so
funny.
We got clipped.
Okay. Definitely though, Gabe and Jade are Mom's. Gabe's definitely Mom's favorite.
Yeah.
In comparison,
depends on.
I'm chopped
the situation.
Liver.
You're not anybody's favorite.
Yeah, I
well,
think
Dad likes him.
Yeah,
likes
Dad. Me, but and Maybe Mom Dad. Likes me, but. I'm definitely chopped liver. it'd be like yesterday or 2 days ago. She's just like all week. Hey, are you going to Luce's birthday party? It's like, yeah, okay. You're like for sure because I know you said there might be something else going on that day. You are going to Luce's birthday party, right? It's like, yeah, probably. We need to know, Gabe. Luke, we need to support your brother, and we have to know. It's like. Well, he's just turning one, right? It's just a birthday party. And then Kaylee's just like, yeah, did they come to ours? Like, you know, but she's just like, well, you know, it's very important that they all are there.
Gabe, we did not make it to Clark's.
Oh my gosh, that is funny.
Kaylee's like, they weren't at Clark's birthday party.
And I'm sure he didn't get the lashing you did.
Lisa. Oh, that's Lisa's gang.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, who fought the most? We
probably
all little, too. Only about like clothes because she would always steal my clothes. And then like whenever we got older, she would take my clothes and like not wash them or not get them dry cleaned. So she would like shove them underneath her like car seats and stuff. And like I would find them like 3 years later.
I was going to take them to the dry cleaner and then I would like forget they were under there. Yeah, they'd have
Why'd
like,
you
hot
shove them
on.
Under the
I
seats
don't
though?
I don't know why I did anything. That I did back then. But
you guys used to beef a lot. Brothers always fought
a lot.
I don't think we fought.
Yeah, we didn't fight a ton.
There's a little bit of a maturity gap to where it wasn't really a fair fight. Gabe would just get clever and, you know.
Feed. Yeah. No. You used to, like, put tacks in his bed, didn't you? Or did I do that?
It wasn't me.
That might have been me.
Probably.
Yeah, I would.
I felt like y'all get along really well.
Yeah, we always kind of have, I guess. Like, we would fight, like, when we were kids, obviously. Like, we would get into fights over things, and, like, we'd be swinging on each other. And then one time I threw a chair at Luke. One time I slingshotted a Hot Wheels car at him and missed and shattered a window.
Shot him in the eyeball one time
did
with
shoot
a
paintball. I did shoot him in the face with a paintball gun.
Oh, Lord.
Hit me in the eyeball.
I thought I killed him.
Good thing
and
you
Dad was
blind.
Watching, and he was laughing at me with Gabe.
Oh yeah, that was serious. And these were like tactical. Like we got super into paintball guns and had like aftermarket like barrels and like high powered high pressured tanks. And yeah, and that, like I don't remember what, but he kept jacking with me. I just boom, and then this. I mean, it sounded like a freaking like it was like a clap.
I like Dad laughed so hard when everybody was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
He still does. Like when you got hand, foot, and mouth on vacation, literally last year, it was like the best day of his life. He thought it was so hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he thinks like
that's
it's
his
so
sense
funny.
Of humor.
He
loves when people
loved
get
well, he also
hurt.
Loved it because part of it was you were telling everybody like hands, foot, and mouth is not contagious and
for adults.
And then he went with me to urgent care because he's like, oh yeah, this is like it was must see TV for Gary Irvin. And like we were. were in there, like the whole time the doctor, he'd be like, yep, you've got hands, foot, and mouth. He's just like, yeah, not contagious, huh? And he was just like, yeah. Hey, don't worry, Gabe. Your sister says it's not contagious. And And then he was just like, yep. And I was like, how bad is it with adults? He's like, it's not so bad with kids, but he's like, I would consider it absolutely debilitating with adults. And he was just like, woo. Oh, sucks to be you, Gabe. Man.
Can't wait to go put Mallory in her place. Yeah.
Oh, and this was like day two of a week-long vacation.
Yeah, and then he got like 103 degree fever that night and was like sweating with like sand in his bed, like at his house in 30A. Yeah,
he'd just walk by the door, like kind of peeking, just like, and just keep walking.
It was a bad vacation.
Oh, we got a weird sense of humor in our family. Okay. The last two rapid fire. What do you admire most about Mom? I admire her faith and the example that she set with faith. She didn't say, like, this is right and wrong. It wasn't like fire and brimstone. She went to adoration all the time. She prayed all the time. She had 19 rosaries by her bed. She exemplified faith. That's my.
Mm-hmm. The way she makes people feel. I feel like she's the type of person, she will give everyone a compliment, like, especially strangers. She loves to talk to strangers. And she'll just, like, tell them, I love you in that color, or, you know, I love your bracelet, and I don't know, they just light up. So yeah, she's just really sweet to people she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. She makes people feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, Luke.
Agree with what Jade said. People, she has an exceptional way of just making people feel good, making them feel special, you know, and in return, you know, when people ask me, like, hey, how's your family? You know, a lot of times it's, hey, how's your mom? Mm-hmm. Hey, how's Lisa doing? You know? Yeah. And she just has a way to make people feel very special and important. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, fake. It's not, it's real. It's authentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yep. I would say kind of around the same theme as her, but I'll go a different direction, is like, I guess like positivity and resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, That's kind of how she's always been, I think, is just been, which, you know, she wasn't always dealt a great hand, but yeah, so I would say very resilient, very positive, and
Very positive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, because like sometimes Jade and I are like trying to talk about something that's like actually going on, and she's just like, got to be positive, got to be happy. She's like, you have a lot to be grateful for, and we're just like, yeah, but like this just happened, so like let me tell you about this, and she's just like, well, you got to find a way to win. And it's like, okay, Mom. Like, it's almost like it's to such an extreme, but like it's definitely rubbed off on us, I feel like.
Yeah. It's definitely a good thing. Cause I feel like in this culture, like, everybody's moms just want to complain about how hard it is. And
Kaylee always.
She's just like, suck it up. Come on.
Yeah. She always says, I want to be like Lisa when I grow up.
Yeah. I know.
Aww. Courtney always says that too. She's like, I want to be Lisa when I grow up.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart.
Yes, she is sweet. Okay, and then lastly, what do you admire most about Dad? One thing that I admire, just now running several different, as your businesses get bigger, the things that go down, like the problems, get bigger, and they affect more people, and they're more bigger financially and stuff. And like now looking back on some of the things that I know happened within his business as he was building it and how big they were, the fact that he never brought that into our home, I think is huge. Mm-hmm. Because I do bring work into our home, and I'm just like, how in the world did he do that? How did we not even know about this enormous, whatever it be, like lawsuit, or this person dying, or like this whole part of the company shutting down, or like this? I mean, you're talking tons of money. You're talking a lot of people. You're talking like, and he just a regular day to him, you know? We just never even knew about it. And I think that is extremely admirable. And I think you have to be very selfless to do that, to live that way. And I think it's very hard to do. But he just didn't. I admire that about him, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. I never thought about that. I think I would say just like the way he takes care of everybody, not only his family, but like people he works for, or, you know, like somebody in our hometown has a husband with cancer, and he'll drop everything to fly him across the country. Our dad's a pilot, so he would pick him up, fly him to Texas so they can get their cancer treatment, fly him back. asking Mal, how many sweatshirts can I get for girls that work for me, and getting everybody's size, and you know, he's just always doing things like that, just like taking care of everybody, and making everybody's life easier. Yeah.
I've had the pleasure of working with Dad pretty closely for the past about 13 years. I've been in the business, and professionally, he is just level-headed, highly intelligent, very thoughtful. You know, he's got a lot of relationships, and he cares about people, and he just has this just insanely great way of managing his time and, you know, the business. And but he just has an extreme level of business sense that I've had the opportunity to learn a lot from. And then personally, you know, you talk about growing up, you know, it's like, what's your favorite memories and stuff, and what did we do growing up? But Dad kind of created an environment to where we did a lot of cool things that I feel like normal people didn't do
all the time.
Like Gabe was 12 when he got a scuba diving license, and you know, we used to go on trips. We went to Mexico, what, 6-7 times, and went on these hunting trips with Pawpaw, and you know, and he made time to, like, you know, we used to go to Alabama as a family, and we did a lot of cool things, and I definitely don't take them for granted. And looking back, it's like, those are the best of times. Remember, he used to make us run marathons and like triathlons, follow us in his Hummer. and you know, but looking back, we did so many cool. He went to Bulgaria with us for 3 months
for wrestling. Yeah. For wrestling. Wrestling
trip. Yeah. We went on a wrestling trip. Gabe was like 12 then too, 13. Yeah. I was just 17 years old, but Gabe was just so young, and he's just, all right, kids, just have fun. And middle of Bulgaria, like, we just go walk around like Sophia and Pop did, and just experience life. But yeah,
you climbed Kilimanjaro together.
I did Kilimanjaro.
But Gabe thought he was gonna die.
I did think I was gonna die. Said the final prayers.
Very adventurous environment.
Yeah, good answer, Luke.
Yeah, same kind of thing. I think there's a bunch you can say, but yeah, I think mine would be, you know, he's very chill, I guess, very calm, and very, like, I guess, like, tactical almost with everything he does. Like, I've never seen him really ever get, like, yelling mad or, like, worked up about, like, anything really. Well, except once when I crashed his Hummer that Luke was talking about. He was pretty pissed about that one.
No, it's because you crashed it into Mom's car.
Yeah.
So you crashed both family vehicles at the same time somehow in our own driveway.
So anyways, yeah. No, he's always very, I think he's very, like, just strategic, smart, you know, and it's just interesting to like watch how he operates and watch how he, you know, lives and does things and treats people even, just 'cause it's like, you know, it's not always what I would have thought to do or say or, you know, but it's, I'd say he's a very unique individual.
Yeah.
You know.
Good description. Thank you guys so much for joining me on today's podcast. I know we've all got a lot of kids, and this is everybody's Sunday, but this was just really awesome because y'all are some great siblings.
It's funny, like, how it progresses from Sean Johnson, Olympic athlete, like Dewey Tim Lee Tebow's wife, like Gabriel Irvin, guy who makes a good salsa, Olympic athlete,
you're just as important.
Us,
well, guy who makes a good salsa. Yeah. Everybody's going to love this podcast. And thank you guys so much for listening to this. This was really fun to be able to do. Some of my favorite podcasts that I've done have been with family members. And, like, we've been trying to schedule this for so long. It's definitely very hard to schedule something with Luke in particular. But I'm just really glad that we got this scheduled today. So this was great. Thank y'all.
And
that's a wrap. Hey, friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.